Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Salty Sisters. I'm Brianna. Oh, yeah, it's just me today. I know, this is really weird. So Kristen, my co-host, is getting back from vacation today. This is the Monday before our episode comes out. And instead of just taking a break this week, I thought I would do something that I've never done before, something very different, and that is just do the podcast with me. So buckle up. You're stuck with me for the next however long this episode takes. I kind of feel like I'm just going to be talking to myself, but then in my psychotic thinking, I'm like, I kind of feel like Felicity right now. So, you know, we're just going to go with it. Let's start how we usually start, right? I mean, how's the week been? I don't know. Hopefully for you all, it has been fine. If you want to know how our week has been, this episode will come out on Tuesday, which will be the 1 week anniversary of our I'll set the scene up for you all. So we were dog sitting, Kristen and Phil's dogs, Olive and Charlie, you know, my niece and nephew, and we were sitting on the couch last Tuesday. It's around 11 o'clock and we heard this huge crash in our kitchen, which is kind of on the other side of the house from our living room. You know, being the salty asshole that I am, I was like, oh my gosh, Mark just hung the shelf above our coffee bar. I'm like, of course that fell and broke all the mugs, right? So we walk to our kitchen and we just see this huge hole in our big bay window that kind of overlooks our backyard and the river. And I didn't really even put two and two together. I just grabbed the dogs because there was glass all over the floor. And all of a sudden, Mark is just like, you need to call 911 right now. And so I called the police and, you know, I'm like, hey, like something just broke through our window. I'm not really sure. And I walked back in the kitchen and I was trying to describe how big this hole was. And I'm like, it's kind of like a bowling ball size hole. And, you know, there's just silence on the other end because she's kind of waiting for me to give more information, right? And then I look on the floor and there's just two bricks laying on our kitchen floor. So clearly somebody had thrown bricks through our window. I don't know. Neither of us have ever experienced anything like this. The cops ended up coming. They went and looked for whoever was responsible, came back a while later and let us know that they caught one of the people responsible and that it was like a 14-year-old kid. Yeah, wearing full masks, gloves, like black clothing. I can't really describe our backyard, but we've got a deck on each side and then it's just kind of not a cliff, but there's a pretty steep incline that goes down to a walking path and then the river is right there. I would never attempt to climb up that hill, me personally. I'm a huge klutz, but that has nothing to do with it. It's very dangerous. So yeah, these kids climbed up the hill, grabbed some like stones and just tossed them through. They've since caught the other kid. The other kind of like fucked up part about this is while the police were around the river looking for them, the two kids biked by the cops and yelled down to them, like, how's the window? So pretty fucked up. I don't know. It's been a long week. It's like we slept on our second floor for a few nights. I'm not really sure why, but we came to the conclusion if we had been sleeping when that happened, we probably wouldn't have heard it up in our attic as we're sleeping with, you know, two box fans and a noise machine and what have you. Yeah, so it's, you know, I'm not sleeping the best. I don't like walking in our kitchen in the dark. It's just, you know, it's, I don't know. How do people get through these things, right? Like, you just keep on keeping on, I guess. But, yeah, I was talking to Kristen about it, and you kind of hope that when these kids grow up in, like, you know, 15, 20 years that, you know, they have kids or dogs or whatever, and somebody throws a fucking brick through their window and just completely fucks up your whole safety bubble. I don't know. They don't live here. They were from like far out of town. So what they were doing here, I have no idea. You know, we live in a cute like lake tourist town. It's like a Hallmark fucking channel up here. So it's crazy that this happened in Petoskey and not in Minneapolis where crime was just like, you know, pretty common. So here we are. That's kind of been what we have been dealing with this week. But on the flip side of that, I have been trying to watch some things and keep up with the pop culture scene. So, you know, let's dive right in. A couple things that I was clicking on this week. I did see the pictures of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce in the Bahamas. Besides them looking super annoyed that they were having their pictures taken somehow, super cute pictures. And I was really happy to see some new material about them. You know, it's not just the same pictures in the Super Bowl or whatever that we've been seeing for the past couple months. It seems like they're real happy, and that was a really good click. Also was really happy to click and see that Ariana has bought a new house, her $1.6 million single girl like pad. I saw just a picture of the outside of it, and it looks super cool, so really happy for her. Before I get into things that we watched this week, I'm going to talk about some pods, because they kind of tie into what we were watching this week. I think I've mentioned on this podcast a few times that I've been really diving into the Nick Viall podcast. I think he does a great job. He has really smart things to say. He gives really good advice and just seems like he has a very well-balanced head on his shoulders. So I enjoy his pod a lot. They were just like went down this rampage about kids and smartphones and how it is just such a problem. And how kids are just addicted to these phones, how, you know, and we all know this, it's so bad for your mental health, it's so bad for, your posture, it's bad for everything, right? You're not paying attention. It's just, it's crazy to think when we were younger, we had the strict rules about, like, no chewing gum in class, and I don't even remember, just, like, dumb shit, right? And these kids, you know, we'd stand at our lockers and talk to our friends, and really soak up those like precious minutes in between classes. And I'm just imagining looking down a hallway of schools now and just having every single kid like necks down, just like looking at their phone. So yeah, they just had a kid. And so they were just talking about all this stuff and how do you regulate it? I have no idea. I mean, I think adults are just as addicted to their phones as young kids are, but they also, and Kristen has talked about this a lot too, but like these young kids and seeing this stuff on social media. So it's, you know, these 12 and 13 year olds that have these crazy like 12 step skin regimens. It blows my mind. We were wearing like roll-on glitter, butterfly clips, and, you know, lip smackers, and you've got these like kids spending all this money on retinol and anti-wrinkle creams and face masks and all this shit. And it's like, you guys, you've got to be joking. I mean, I'm almost 38 and it's really hard to even put lotion on my face every night because I'm so lazy. Yeah, I wonder how different we would all be if we would have taken really good care of our skin when we were younger. But yeah, this multiple step things is a little nuts, and just, I can't even imagine spending money on that kind of thing when you're that little, but that's just me. I did see a lot, and they talked about this on Nick Viall's podcast too, about the Kate Middleton drama. You know, we've all seen, I feel like it was the day our episode released, where I went on Instagram and saw the Kate Middleton interview where she announces that she has cancer, which is obviously super sad and kind of heartbreaking. And they were just kind of talking about how, you know, you saw Blake Lively post that she was so sorry for like poking fun at the Photoshop fail and things like that. Here's the thing, and Nick Viall outlined this a lot better on his podcast than I'm going to, but it's something about nobody really needs to be apologizing right now for speculating. That's all everybody had to do in the 2-3 weeks. I don't even know the exact timeline, but you know, them not releasing anything, this Photoshop thing coming out, it was just fueling this fire, right? And so everybody's coming up with their own conclusions and their guesses and speculating, and it all obviously got so out of control. But I don't really need to see celebrities now like apologizing for, you know, the jokes that they made or the posts that they photoshopped to like poke fun at the situation. It's all fine, right? Like, calm down. Another thing that he talked about, I don't remember if it was this week or last week, but it was a lot of Vanderpump stuff. So I'm going to kind of wrap that into Tom Sandoval's podcast, which I hate that I'm still listening to, and I can't really ever make it through an entire episode, but I'm telling myself that I'm doing it for the podcast, so I think I just kind of have to keep doing it. If you've all watched last week's episode of Vanderpump, you saw the conversation that Anne, his assistant, had with Ariana about, you know, like considering her for her personal assistant, and, you know, we all know by now that she has since stopped working for Tom Sandoval. But the amazing thing is the way he talked about this on his podcast was so Tom Sandoval. he was saying that, yeah, well, it was just weird that, you know, she called Ariana while she was getting ready for Taylor Swift because, like, I mean, I got her those tickets and those earrings that she was wearing. I got those earrings for her because they're a replica of the same ones that Taylor Swift wore in the Bejeweled video. He's saying all of these things, like, because he bought her things or, like, bought her tickets to Taylor Swift, that she shouldn't, like, be unhappy with him as a boss or seek employment from Ariana or have quit in the first place. I don't really know where he's going with this, but it's such a fucked up thing to throw that out there, right? Like, I don't know why she would not want to work for me because I bought her all these presents. It's just, like, a fucked up mentality and, like, thing to say out loud. And, you know, we've all seen Anne clean up after these parties and having to deal with communication back and forth with you and Ariana. What a nightmare of a job that seems. She must be a saint. That is going to lead me into Vanderpump. I had to go back and rewatch this episode, or this week's episode of Vanderpump, because so much happened. Before I get into that, I'm so excited. We're going to California in a couple weeks, and we have reservations at Sir and Tom Tom on the day we land in LA. I am beyond excited. Obviously not gonna go to Shorts and Sandy's or anything like that, but we're gonna do happy hour and apps at Sir and then go to dinner at Tom Tom. So excited. I can't wait to tell you all how it went. But okay, enough about me. On to actual VPR. Allie's singing career. I think Allie is a really good addition to this show because she is just so, like, innocent and nice and really just kind of wants everybody to get along, but not in, like, a Sheena way where she just wants to be friends with everybody. She's just, you know, she really understands people's signs and their charts and she's just trying to figure out how people work into the group where they can feel comfortable, whatever. I think her singing career is adorable. I think she should go for it. And it's just, it's kind of a refreshing break in the VPR drama that we're all used to. The thing that really grossed me out in this episode is the Katie and Max. I don't even want to call it a rumor anymore because I don't think it's a rumor. So we'll come back to that because that's a little bit later in the episode, right? First of all, to Billie Lee, I just wish I could tell her to fuck off and just go somewhere else. I'm so sick of seeing her face. There was a poll on one of the Vanderpump Instagrams about if you've ever seen her blink. And I don't know that I have. She is clearly, like, a robot. I don't know. She drives me so nuts. And the fact that she seems so thirsty to be on this show still, it's mind-boggling to me. That's exactly what it is. I just don't want to see her in this show anymore. But I don't know that I'm going to be that lucky. Okay. I think this is where we're just going to get into the meat of this. So I think a lot of the drama of this episode happens when they're at Club Ziggy, right? The only other big thing that really happened before that was when Schwartz admits to Lala, or not admits, but drops, like, this 12-year-old news that he kissed Sheena in Vegas once. So that kind of sets everything up for this episode, right? I guess my question to everybody is, A, why Schwartz said this in the first place? It just, you know, there's a lot of people saying that some of the people on the show are just going so above and beyond this season, and it's almost making it seem like they're just trying so hard to make sure there's going to be a season 12. And I don't know if that's why Schwartz kind of dropped, I don't even want to say drop this bomb, but, like, why he just felt the need to clear the air with this. So, you know, obviously Lala goes to Katie, and then they tell Ariana, and then Katie confronts Sheena about it. How do you feel about this? If you're Katie, are you mad? Do you go talk to Sheena? I don't know. What's your thoughts? My thought is Katie absolutely has a right to be however she wants to be about this. You know, at the time, this was her boyfriend of X amount of years. Her and Sheena had such a tumultuous relationship. Still, even, like, it's just a roller coaster, right? It's up and down. Schwartz, God only knows how many people he made out with / cheated on Katie with. And this is just kind of another example. And really, I guess if I'm going to try to spin this in a positive way for Katie, it's just another point that shows how right you were in filing for divorce from this person, right? So let's put Katie and Schwartz and Sheena aside, that little triangle. Sheena drove me so crazy in this episode. I'm so done with Sheena. It's on a whole nother level. You guys remember season 8, right? This is the season with Dana and, like, Max and whoever the fuck those other people were. And Sheena was such a bitch to Dana, who I hope you all love as much as I do. But, like, she was just psychotic. And this is the Sheena I'm seeing in this season again. I don't know anything about Joe, okay? I don't like Joe because Katie doesn't like Joe. And I think the whole Raquel, Sandoval, Schwartz vacations that they went on and, like, hangouts, so fucked up. But I still think that the way Sheena was talking to Joe at this party, in case you all didn't know, Sheena was getting drunk tonight. She just doesn't ever drink anymore. She's just going to get drunk. It was so fucked up with the hat. I don't even understand it. Like, trying to take it off of her, asking her why she has the hat on. She was, like, obsessed. Take the hat off. We don't need another Tom Tom hat. We're good. If somebody would come up in my face and, first of all, be obsessed with something as a hat, it was just, it was uncomfortable to watch. It was so cringy. The braids. Show the braids. Who cares? It was really, I don't know. I hope she watches that back and is just so embarrassed and doesn't try to blame it on the alcohol because, girl, like, let's be honest, that I don't feel like had a lot to do with the alcohol, okay? Ugh. I wanted to punch Sheena in the face, okay? It was yuck. And then seeing Schwartz go after Joe when Joe is, like, clicking and I don't even know, while she's sitting next to Billie Lee and whoever the fuck that other girl was. She leaves because she's having, like, a lot of anxiety, and Schwartz goes after her and is just like, oh my God, what's wrong? Can you imagine seeing that if you're Katie and having been married to this person, having been with them for 10, 11, 12 years, and he never, like, had her back. He didn't ever go to bat for her. And yet there he is running after Joe to make sure she's okay. It was just a very interesting flip. How did you guys feel about Tom Sandoval walking up to Ariana, Lala, and Katie and trying to talk to her? Before that even happened, you have Ariana walking into, I don't know, a club, whatever it is. And Tom Sandoval sees her from across the room and he's talking to fucking, is it Brock? And he's like, oh, Ariana looks great. Yeah, that's a really good dress. Hey, Sandoval, fuck off, dude. Ugh, it's so gross. Hats off to Ariana that she can walk into these places and just know that he is, like, looking at her and making comments. It doesn't matter if they're nice or not nice. Like, you don't have the right to look at her anymore, right? Like, ugh, it's just, like, maddening. And Brock also in this scene, like, shut the fuck up. Like, I think we'd all like to see you two get along. Hey, Brock, would you? You've been in this group for 15 minutes. Nobody really likes you, so sit the fuck down, you know? But that brings me back to Tom trying to talk to Ariana. I'm trying to think of situations, like, you break up with somebody who's a complete piece of shit, and, like, they go on this, I don't want to call it an apology tour because we've all heard that on VPR so many times, but you are just making such an effort to be the good guy now and to almost do what you can to paint Ariana in a negative light. You know, she's sitting with Katie and Lala, she hasn't not doing anything with Sandoval, but he's gonna walk up to her and ask her if she got the email 2 months ago about the house. And then when she answers that quick thing and then looks away, he's still gonna continue talking to her. It's so obvious what he's trying to do, and I don't know why Lala has flipped on this whole thing. Nick Vial said it on his podcast that she's making this all very confusing, like what she stands for, who she's not, I don't want to say whose side she's on, but like what is happening. Unless, you know, this is kind of the first time I heard where if she's like campaigning really hard to make sure there's a season 12, but this just isn't the Lala that we know and personally love. I love Lala. But there just seems to be some weird stuff going on, and none of it is just really making sense. And maybe as the season continues to go on, it will make more sense. I'm not sure. Do I appreciate the fact that she is trying to heal from the Rand situation and not be so angry all the time? Of course. That's a huge step. And I think a lot of the things she's saying about that, absolutely, right? You don't want to be angry. Like, this wasn't your situation and to be angry about, and you know, you're sleeping just fine at night, whatever Sandoval happens with him, it happens. But at the same time, this is one of your good friends, right? You said in this episode, you and Sandoval have like never been close. I feel like I have to say this every week, but this is 3 or 4 months after this whole affair just exploded. So say what you want to about Ariana in this season, but she's doing the best that she can after 3 months or 4 months of being with somebody for 10 years and having them just completely just fuck you over in the worst possible way. I'm just going to leave that there. I don't know that I have a lot more to say about this episode. It was a good episode. I am excited for tomorrow, or tonight's episode, I guess, and just to see how the rest of the season plays out, which kind of leads me into The Valley. I didn't watch the second episode of The Valley yet. We were going to watch that Tuesday night and just kind of went, you know, off the radar a little bit. But honestly, I don't know how to feel about it right now. I saw that the other couple, and I don't know their names, but are like filing for a divorce already, which after even watching that first episode, I mean, duh. You know, we know Jax and Brittany are separated or whatever they're doing. The show just seemed like it was going to be trying really hard, and maybe it won't be, and these people are all kind of going to just settle in and, you know, we'll see whatever unfold. But the episode was tough to watch. The Jax and Kristen stuff, anybody really even commenting on Kristen and her being ready to have kids or what have you, like, sit the fuck down, everybody, all right? I mean, Kristen is 40. We've seen her come so far since, you know, Miami Girl, which she ended up being right about, and season one, and like Crazy Kristen, all of the things, right? I can't believe I just said all of the things. But if she wants to have a kid with this guy who she is with right now and loves, and however they want to bring a kid into the world, go absolutely. You do whatever you want to do. Everybody needs to have an opinion about everything that everybody's doing. I mean, you want her to get married so she can be as happily married as you fuckers? Like, are you joking? So just Jax, zero change. It pains me to look at his face. Yeah, that's my comments on The Valley so far. I will get caught up this week and maybe we'll have nicer things to say next week. I'm not really sure. I think we've also got the other show starting, the Lisa Vanderpump show, that I'm so sorry, I can't even remember what it's called. So no matter how you feel about Vanderpump, we're going to have a lot of different aspects of Lisa Vanderpump coming at us in different avenues over the next few months. So buckle up. I think it's going to be a bumpy ride. A bright spot in what I'm watching is Top Chef. I have watched Top Chef since it started. You know, it's a great show. It is really fun to see how it's evolved from the chefs being so competitive and catty and just kind of dicks to what this show is now. And I honestly really hope this is how kitchen culture is now, but it's helping each other out. It's building your fellow chef up, whatever the case is. But I will have to say, and I loved Padma, don't get me wrong, but I think Kristen is a fantastic host for this show. And I didn't realize Top Chef was even missing anything, but she is filling the gap of what it was missing without me even realizing there was a gap to fill, if that makes any sense. She's so real. She has a really good insight to say. She's been in their shoes. She can like relate with them really well. Everything, she's very funny. I love that she swears. And I love that she's just going like elbow to elbow with like some of these really huge like male chefs that have been judges so far. I would be so intimidated. I did my pastry chef stint way back when, and when I ever encountered anybody that was a semi-big deal, which wasn't that often, but I would just like go into my shell and I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And fucking, she must have the most insane confidence, and I'm so jealous of that. She's amazing, and I am very excited that she is the host. And just to think, I mean, she wasn't on Top Chef that long ago, right? So before she was on Top Chef, she was just a person, and now she's hosting the show. It's a lot of fun to watch. So I'm very excited for this season. It's fun that it's somewhere in the Midwest, and maybe they'll come to Michigan next. I don't really know. If you don't watch Top Chef, I highly recommend it. It's so much fun. Ugh, Survivor. You guys, I'm in a real rut with Survivor. The things I wanted to talk about last week, which I didn't because Kristen hadn't watched it, but I'm going to tell you what, if Banu hadn't gotten voted off a week and a half ago, whatever episode that was, I was going to stop watching this show. I've never seen somebody so pathetic on this show, and I think that's what made me love Tiff as much as I do, which she is just like, basically like, dude, get the fuck off your knees, like, stop crying, learn to play this fucking game that you said you were this huge fan of. I really miss, I don't even know how to put it into words, but like the drive of Survivor. You know, you have all of these people, like these 20-somethings saying that they're hardcore fans, they've watched it from the beginning, They think they're poverty. They think they're Boston Rob, whatever. And they all suck. Like, nobody is making moves strategically. They're all just kind of, again, I'm going to say this, like, they're all, like, playing these parts in their Survivor, like, theater production or something that they think that they're in. Just, like, nothing comes off as real. Nothing comes off as this is somebody's genuine gameplay. Obviously, there are exceptions. Do I think Hunter is a good game player in Survivor so far? I do. He's fantastic at challenges. You know, he made 3D prints of so many of them and has been practicing. I think he will go far if he continues to win immunity challenges. Do I think Tiff is a good player? I think so far she's doing well. I don't know. Maybe what I really need, and I think I said this last time, is just a big shakeup in Survivor. I need some new advantages. I need some new twists and turns that can maybe shake the game up a little bit and make it the Survivor that I've loved for so long. Yeah, I don't know how you do that, but Jeff, I believe in you. We got this. That is honestly all that I've really watched this week. Mark and I watched like two kind of crappy movies on Netflix, and I would tell you about them, but they were so forgettable that I've already forgotten what they're called. And it's nothing anybody needs to waste their time with, so we'll save that for next week. I did kind of want to, at first, I was just going to make this episode, like, not, like, an Ask Me Anything, but, like, answering questions that we've gotten from the time we started this pod to now. You know, every once in a while, we'll get a question here and there. But I still did want to kind of talk about Vanderpump and a few of the things I was clicking on. So I gave you a mini episode. And now I'm just going to throw a few of these questions out there. Again, you know where to find us, Instagram, Salty Sisters. If you want to ask us anything, feel free, and maybe we'll answer it one day on air. Who knows? First question, why aren't you doing rewatches anymore? So we didn't ever start this podcast as a rewatch podcast. Hopefully you all know that we did the Felicity podcast to start Ben versus Noel. That's how we kind of dipped our toe into this podcasting world. That was something I wanted to do forever. I hopefully don't need to repeat myself. Felicity is my all-time favorite show. I am obsessed. It's psychotic. I'm so jealous of Julia Lippmann for doing this podcast of hers on The Ringer. I can't even put it into words, but it was so exciting for me that I got to do that podcast and that I got to do it mostly with Kristen. You know, a lot of it happened during the pandemic. We were not living in the same state. I got to interview people in that show. I mean, Chris and I interviewed Amanda Foreman together, and then I got to do Amanda Foreman, Greg Grunberg, and Robert Patrick Benedict, you know, Megan, Sean, Richard. I don't know if anything cooler in that realm will ever happen to me in my life, but I am very thankful it did. So anyways, we didn't ever start this as a podcast to rewatch shows. We tried it after Felicity was done. You know, we tried to do Gilmore Girls, and I don't have passion for shows like I do for Felicity. And so it wasn't as enjoyable to talk through things because it just wasn't why we started this podcast. So when Gilmore Girls kind of fizzled out, we fizzled out. And then Kristen and I kind of reconnected months later and just decided to rebrand as the Salty Sisters. You know, why are we still doing this podcast? Because we think it's fun. And we don't live by a lot of people that we used to live. They think it's kind of fun to see what's still going on in our lives, maybe. I don't know. But we had people reach out to us saying, when are you going to come back? And so we're back. But I will have you know, if we happen to stop doing this podcast, we aren't going to come back because, you know, you don't want to do that too many times. Like, you know, hey, Tom Brady, you retired once. You just got to stay down there. Are you and your sister really best friends? Yes, we are really best friends. How do you feel about all the Felicity podcasts out there now? It's bonkers to me. I remember searching Apple Podcasts at the time for Felicity, and one popped up, and it was Dear Sally, a Felicity podcast. And I was so fucking excited when I saw that this existed. I remember they mentioned my name on the podcast once because I used to message them all the time, like incessantly. And I was driving when I heard it, and like I almost started crying, like so fucking ridiculous, right? And then we had ours, and now they're popping up everywhere. And obviously the biggest one now being on The Ringer with Julia Lippmann and Amanda Foreman and Greg Grunberg. It's really fun to see. Again, am I so jealous of the one on The Ringer? Absolutely. Did I want to at some point be able to interview or meet Kara Russell and all of the rest of them? Yes. Will it ever happen? No. But I'm so happy that these podcasts exist because it keeps the show alive. So when I get in those weird situations with people and tell them about Felicity, maybe they'll have heard about it now. Oh yeah, I saw a podcast. I don't know. So there we go. That's how I feel about it. Did that answer it? I don't know. Are you guys ever going to talk about real life issues versus only celebrity or pop culture? We can. Do you guys want to hear us talk about real life things? You want to hear us talk about how we like are terrified of the upcoming election and like fuck Trump and all this stuff? I don't really know if you guys do. Hopefully that comes across as where we stand with those things. But I wouldn't mind talking about real life things. But I just don't know if anybody really needs to hear about our actual lives, even though I just spent like 10 minutes at the beginning of this podcast telling you about my life and the scary shit. But I don't know. We could. Let us know. Why do I hate Botox? Here's the thing about this, okay? I wish everybody was just comfortable in their skin. And I don't really even know what that means because nobody is, right? I mean, we all do the things to make us feel better. I mean, fuck, I have tattooed eyebrows, okay? Like, I get it. I just think, and I think back to Vanderpump. It was when they're having the dinner party with all of Lisa Vanderpump's, like, Beverly Hills people. Brandy Glanville, all of those. And Tom Sandoval in one of the interviews said something about how everybody at the table was fighting, but you would never be able to tell because all their faces were frozen because they've had so much Botox, which is so funny now because you look at the entire cast of Vanderpump and they're all Botoxed up, right? They have so much fillers in their face, they can't move them. And I just see this happening with like normal people, everyday people. And I just think everybody is starting to look the same. You know, it's, I don't know, it's the Botox face. I don't know what it is. It's not bad, it's not good. It's just, you do these things, I think, to stand out or to make yourself feel better, and then you start to look like everybody else. I made the tattoo analogy a couple weeks ago. It's, you know, I started getting tattoos when it was not okay to have tattoos, and I felt like kind of a badass, and now everybody has tattoos, and I'm like, ugh. I don't know. Everybody do whatever you need to do to, like, feel good about yourself, whatever that is, but I don't know. I just think it makes people look older and everybody just kind of starts to look the same. That's my opinion. You're looking at a girl here who, again, I put lotion on my face sometimes because I am lazy. Will I look great when I'm old? I have no fucking idea, but this is life. I think everybody's going to listen to these questions, especially Kristen, and just going to like roll your eyes. But I got through them like pretty well, right? I think that's it. This is going to be a pretty short and sweet podcast. I hope you got through it okay. I know some of it got a little long-winded, a little too personal, probably most of it, but you know, at least you got to listen to something instead of having to wait for a week. So I'm very happy to report that Kristen and I will both be back next Tuesday. Until then, get caught up on Vanderpump, maybe Top Chef if you haven't. If you're anything like me, I spent a lot of time getting caught up on Grey's Anatomy. I think I had like 7 or 8 episodes to catch up on in season 19, and now I'm going into season 20. I'm happy to report that Scott Speedman really starts to ramp up his appearances toward the end of season 19 and then right into season 20. So that is honestly what made me hop back on the Grey's train. So if that's the push you need to get back into that show, I urge you to just take that leap. So we'll see. Next week is going to be better. We're going to start sleeping and come back refreshed with some clicks, not clicks, and some good TV news for you all. Thank you for listening and getting through this episode with me. It was kind of therapeutic. So, you know, my voice just cracked like I was Sheena. Ugh. All right. You know where to find us. Instagram, Salty Sisters. Again, thank you for listening. And we'll be back, both of us, next week. Bye.